Let's turn to our scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 4. 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 4. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 2. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Verse 3. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Verse 4. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword and to his bow and his belt. The friendship of Jonathan and David is really an outstanding example of what true friendship really is. We find in this passage of Scripture that Jonathan and David became the best of friends. In fact, the Scriptures said that their souls were knit together. They were firmly joined together as one in this friendship. Now, these two young men shared a very common and godly love for each other. God's Word tells us that Jonathan stripped himself of his royal garments and gave them to David as a symbol of his friendship. In doing this, Jonathan was telling David that, "I accept you as my lifelong friend. I will always be there when you need me. I will protect you from danger to the best of my ability. I will intercede for you when you need a friend to stand for you." Now, if you follow the life of Jonathan and David, you will find out that they had a lifelong friendship. They stayed true to their commitment to each other through the good times and through the bad times. However, today, friendship, true friendship, becomes an increasingly rare quality. A good friend sometimes is hard to find. Now, we've all had those who call themselves our friend, but they really were not. They were there as long as things were going well in the relationship, as long as things were going well in our life. But when things got tough, they got going. It's rare to find that one person that you can really trust, even in the hard times, someone with whom you can share even your shortcomings, your faults. God intended for us, planned for us to have friends. We know the Bible says it is not good, that God said it is not good for man to be alone. And he wasn't only talking about the husband and wife relationship, because loneliness is not a part of God's plan for mankind. He created us as social beings. God made us for relationships. Relationships with Him and a relationship with each other. We were meant to have friends. Now, what is a friend? Well, to find out what a true friend is, we need to examine what God's Word has to say about being a friend. Now, there are two types, basically two kinds of different kinds of friends. There are casual friends, and there are close friends. Casual friends are the result of our environment. We happen to be in the same situation together. Maybe you go to school together. Maybe you are have social activities. You know the same people, your neighbors, people you work with. But these are not the people that you can share your deepest thoughts with. You don't share your dreams. You don't share your ambitions with them. These are just people that you have something in common with. But you are not that intimate with them. And then there are close friends. Now, close friends are the result of choice. You can't be close friends with everybody, so you have to be selective about the ones that become your closest friends. These are the friends that you can be intimate with. You can share your dreams. You can share your ambitions with them. These are the ones that you can reveal the deepest secrets of your life and feel really secure in sharing it with them. Because you know it will go no farther. And then there are some of you here today that have friends that you know you can share certain information with, and it will be kept confidential. Our closest friends have a much greater impact and influence on our lives than our casual friends do. The closer I get to a person, the more influence I allow that person to have on my life. Therefore, I must choose my friends very carefully. So how do we determine our closest friends? The Bible has a lot to say about the kinds of friends that we are to choose. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Let's also look at Proverbs 27, verse 19. Proverbs 27, verse 19. As in water, face reflects face, so in a man's heart reveals the man. The Bible says that the kind of friends that you choose show what kind of person you are really like. Let's look at also Proverbs 12, verse 26. We're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs today. Proverbs 12, verse 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. So it's obvious that there are some people that we need to avoid having as our closest friends. And then there are others that we need to choose to be our closest friend. There are five kinds of people to avoid having as your closest friend. First, we should avoid having those people who are lazy as your closest friend. Proverbs 10, verse 26. 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Lazy people really are one of the people that God despises. God does not want us to be lazy in our work, in our family life. He doesn't want us to be lazy in our relationship, in our work for Him. So we should avoid lazy people. I don't know about you, but just being around people who are lazy just kind of really disturbs my spirit, disturbs my soul. Secondly, he wants us to avoid having angry people as your closest friends. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. When a person is around someone who is angry, especially someone who is angry all the time, seems like they always have a bone to pick with someone or something. That angriness, that anger tends to rob you of your peace. And what happens when your peace is robbed and your spirit is no longer calm? What happens is that you tend to become angry. And there is nothing worse than two angry people talking with each other. So avoid those who are angry people. The third we should try to avoid is having immoral people as our closest friends. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 9 to 11. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Verse 10. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. Verse 11. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. The sexually immoral. You know, we live in this world, and all around us is sexual immorality. We cannot avoid it. You turn on the TV, no matter which program it seems you watch, even the news, you're going to find reports of sexual immorality. And sexual immorality is something that tends to, Satan likes to use to entice us, to tempt us, to lure us into sin, and to lure us away from purity and holiness and away from God. And this also includes, when we talk about sexually immoral people, we're also talking about those who speak and tell a lot of sexually immoral jokes or stories. There is no place for that, especially in our hearts. The fourth one is we should avoid having greedy people as our closest friends. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. Covetousness means greediness. Let it not even be named among you, as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. You know, some people will be your closest friend as long as you have money in your pocket. But when your pockets are empty, where are they? Well, they'll come back every now and then, and they'll keep in touch with you. But not because they truly want you to be your friend, because they are greedy. They covet what you have. They want what you have. If you have a nice car, they want your car. If you have plenty of money in the bank, they want your money. Covetous people, greedy people, avoid them. Verse 5, the fifth one we avoid. We avoid having unbelieving people as our closest friends. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Those who are unbelievers. Earlier we read that we are, you know, we have to live among the world. But we should not be unequally yoked to those who are unbelievers, to those who are idolaters, to those who are fornicators, to those who are greedy, to those who are angry, to those who are lazy, to those who are sexually immoral. We are not to have them as our closest friends, and we are not to be unequally yoked to unbelievers. What is unequal? Unequal means that we spend more time with them, that we have more relationships with them than we have with those who are believers. So what do we do with these people? What do we do with those who are people that we know that are lazy, that are angry, that are immoral, that are greedy, that are unbelieving? What do we do? Do we act like a snob and we don't pay any attention to them? Of course not. The Bible says we are to love everybody. But loving them doesn't mean that we love them and love what they're doing. It means that we love their soul, that we are concerned about their soul. But we don't have these people as our closest friends if that is their predominant lifestyle, because it will rub off on you. It will affect you. And people will know you by the company you keep. If you say you are a Christian, but yet you hang around with those who are lazy, you hang around with and spend a lot of time with those who are greedy or those who are unbelievers, those who are sexually immoral, in the eyes of God, not the eyes of man, but the eyes of God, then people will think you are just like them. So we have to talk with them. We have to work with them. But we should not have close relationships with them. In our personal life, our business life, we should avoid them, because they will lead you down the wrong path. So there are three types of people that we should have as our closest friends. Three types of friends we should select according to the Bible. First, we select those friends who will stimulate us mentally. Let's turn to Proverbs, back to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Also, Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. See, friends are part of our education. Do your friends make you think? Do they stimulate you mentally? Do they show and demonstrate godly wisdom? Not worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom. The Bible says to choose friends that are stimulating us and motivate us and are wise. And having friends that will bring out the best in your life. Choose those who are wise, not those who think they are wise, but those who have proven their wisdom through their life. A lot of people think they're wise, but yet they have not proven it. You look at their life, and they have not demonstrated that they are wise in how they conduct their life, how they conduct their business. We want to make friends of those who support us emotionally. Let's look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend who somebody is somebody who will stay with you when everybody else walks out. A friend is somebody who sees you through the difficult times. A friend is somebody who is there, who stands by you. They're with you when the tough going gets tough. They'll stand by you through thick and thin. And the third type is those who strengthen us spiritually. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, which means encouraging one another, and so much more, the more as you see the day approaching. We all have a deep need for fellowship, but there's a difference between fellowship and friendship. Friendship is based on our mind. It's based on our emotions. But fellowship is a function of the Spirit. You can be friends with an unbeliever, but you can only fellowship with other Christians. To fellowship, you have to be going in the same direction. You have to believe in the same things. You have to have the same goals, the same mindset. The Bible says everybody needs a spiritual encourager. Somebody who can share your struggles with. Somebody who can pray with you. Somebody who really lifts you up. And is an encouragement, not a discouragement, to your spiritual life. So how do we attract these kind of friends? So this morning, let's spend some of our time on how to build friendships. Give some suggestions right from the Scripture on how to build friendships for life. First, we need to become interested in other people. We need to care about other people. Let's go back to Proverbs again. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. To have friends, you must be a friend. The starting point is get interested in other people. Some people will say, "Oh, I don't like that church. You're not friendly." But were you friendly to them? Selfishness is a guarantee for loneliness. If you just look at yourself, you're only concerned with your own problems. You are only concerned with your own needs. You are only concerned with your own aches and your own pains, your own desires, your own goals. You're not going to have very many friends. You need to get interested in other people. You ever had a conversation with somebody and you're trying to talk to them and tell them about what's going on in your life? And they're not even really listening because they start telling you about all of the problems in their life. We have to show interest in them. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You see, that's the starting point. Get interested in others. Friendships have to be built. They just don't happen automatically. They have to be maintained. They have to be cultivated. They have to be nurtured. Secondly, we learn to smile at other people. Proverbs 15:13 says that a happy heart makes the face cheerful. In other words, if your heart is cheerful, it will reflect on your face. If you see a person that never smiles, is always scowling, is always frowning, the majority of the time, I guarantee you that person is not happy in their heart. So in other words, if your heart is cheerful, it's going to show on your face. There's enormous power in a smile. Smiling is the universal language. Did you know that? In every culture, a smile is understood. You smile at somebody, they smile back at you. Unless you're in New York City. You smile at somebody when you're walking down the street, they think you're crazy. Third, don't be a chronic complainer. Somebody who's always griping, always complaining, always has an ache, always has a pain, something is always wrong with everything, they're not going to have very many friends. Because nobody likes to be around somebody who is cranky all the time. who is unhappy all the time, who is complaining all the time. Philippians chapter 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. A person who is not a cranky person, who is not continually complaining and griping, that person is so unusual and so different from the crowd that they stand out like a bright star in a pitch black night. So if you want to have friends, smile. Have a sense of humor. Get interested in other people. Stop being a chronic complainer. I read about a man who went to a flower shop. He was complaining and he was chewing the florist up and down because the florist had sent the wrong flowers to the wrong place. He said, I came in and ordered a beautiful bouquet for my best friend for his housewarming party. And I go to the housewarming, I walk inside, and the bouquet says, rest in peace. And the florist says for a minute, it's quiet, and he thinks for a minute, and he says, what are you complaining about? So you're lucky. Do you realize at some graveside there is a bouquet that says, good luck in your new home? See, there's always something to complain about. But if you want to have friends and you get interested in other people, smile. Listen to what they say carefully. And don't be a complainer. The fourth way is to learn to be a good listener. We know in James chapter 1, verse 19, it says to be quick to listen, slow to speak. Most of us, it's the other way around. We're quick to speak and slow to listen. Isn't that true? Sometimes we're so quick that we think we know what the other person is going to say. So before they even say it, we start to complain about it or criticize them. And that it turns out it wasn't even what they were going to say at all. It's because we are not slow to speak. We are quick. So we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak. We need to be able to accept people unconditionally. Let's look at Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 7. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. We cannot build a true friendship until we first give up this impression in our mind of what a person ought to be. Until you give up trying to change that person, you can never really get close to them. Change comes after accepting them, not before acceptance. So we should accept people unconditionally. Biblical friendship is always unconditional. A friend will love at all times. That means even when you're a jerk, a friend will still love you. It's unconditional. It's not, I love you if you do this or you do that or you change this, you change that. Or it's not, I love you because you are this way or because you are that way. It's, I love you, no matter what. That's friendship. Unconditional acceptance. Jesus loves us unconditionally. Oh, of course, we have to be obedient. There are some things that we do, but it's out of our love for Him. And then we also need to stick with them in the tough times. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verses 9 through 10. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Here it talks about the value of friendship. There are two tests of friendship. A friend is someone you can share your deepest thoughts with, and they won't blow you away. You can lay it all out, and they're going to be there for you. A friend is somebody who can tell you about a weakness in your life, and you won't get mad at them. They can point out a blind spot in your life and not retaliate or become defensive or try to get even with them. So when we think about that, based on that, how many close friends do we have? You see, everybody needs at least one friend who can say, hey, you're off base. You're getting off track here. You're wandering away from what is right. See, they have the right to confront you, and you will accept it because you know more than anything else that they love you unconditionally. And lastly, how do we attract this kind of friend? We share Christ with them. Luke 8, verse 39 says, go back home, tell your friends, tell your family, tell them how much God has done for you. Jesus said this after he had healed the leper. The best thing you can do for your friend is share the Lord Jesus Christ with them. That's the greatest thing you can do. Share with them eternal life. Share with them the secret of real joy. Share with them the secret of the purpose of life. And when you share your faith with a friend, you're making a friend for life. Not just here and now, but for all eternity. You are making a friend forever and ever. Jonathan and David's souls were knit together because of the bond that they had in Christ, in God. Our souls are knit together because every one of us here, we can truly say, are close friends because we have a bond in Christ. Be careful in the friends you choose and attract those who are wise, who will help you grow spiritually, who are emotionally stable, and those that you can share Christ with and have fellowship with.